I got up this morning. I was fine, other than a little bit of a stomach ache. And standing here this while ago, I started breaking out in a sweat and had to sit down. But that's okay. Why did I only bring this? That's okay. This is all I need, right? It's all we preach out of anyway. But the day is Memorial Day. We do remember those men and women who have paid the ultimate sacrifice with their life for our country and our society. These men and women served this country with distinction and the honor. They gave their lives so that we can enjoy the freedoms we have today. I believe I heard someone give a testimony about they'd been in China for 3 weeks and they were glad they were back in the USA. You go to one of these other countries and even though it's not perfect here, you get back here, you realize how good we have it. Those men and women gave their lives so we can enjoy this freedom. They actually gave us a legacy, if you will. But here's a question. What was it that drove these men and women to risk it all? What actually was it that made them want to serve? Was it just that they wanted to preserve a way of life that they may have loved? Or was it something different? Was it just because they thought there were some injustices in the world, there were some things going on in the world that needed to be corrected, such as the Holocaust, and they decided that it was worth risking their life to correct that wrong? Were they fighting for just something physical like a home, a family, a land? Or were they fighting for the ideal of a better place? While there's something to be said about each one of those motivations for them serving and them fighting, I personally believe that you kind of have to morph them together. And that even though they may be fighting for a way of life and a land, overarching it all is they're fighting for the ideal of America. The ideal that we have with freedoms. I believe they fought for ideals like this: liberty and justice for all, no matter who you are. For ideas like we hold these truths to be self-evident. All men, let's change that to all humans are created equal. All are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. And among those are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And just in case you're wondering where that comes from, it comes from the Declaration of Independence. So you might want to write that down for your test later. I personally think that most of the people that have served in our services, whether it be in the past or even today, have the idea they're serving so the world can be a better place to live. That they serve with the idea that tomorrow is going to be better because of what they're doing today. That they serve so that the chains of slavery and the bonds of injustice will be broken wherever they're found. So that every man, every woman, every child will have adequate food, shelter, clothing, and access to medical care. I believe they serve so that every person, regardless of skin color, ethnic origin, birth country, or anything else you may want to put there, that every person will have a chance to love and be loved as they see fit. I believe they serve to make the world a better place. They serve today, looking forward to tomorrow, that it will be a better place, a better day, that there will be a more promising future for the next generation because of what they're doing this day. They're looking for a day when there will be no war and there will be no need of armies. They go above and beyond what Paul stated in Romans when he wrote this. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though someone for a good person might actually dare to die. They put their life on the line for an ideal, the ideal of freedom, if you will. Today we honor those who have paid the ultimate price with their life. They've served and they've sacrificed for a better world. They emulated our Lord Jesus, who did much the same as he came to this earth, and he waged a war, a battle against evil and death, and he defeated it on Calvary. And if you doubt that, it's proven with his resurrection and his ascension. It's an exclamation point It's done. It's over. It's finished. Even today, as we rightly celebrate Memorial Day and remember that we owe much to those who have come before us, we need to do the same for our Christian forefathers too. There are many who have sacrificed that have gone before us so that we can be here today, sitting right here in this sanctuary even. We remember those prophets from old, Moses, Elijah, David, Solomon. We remember our apostles, Peter, John, Paul, Luke. We remember many of the first century, second century church fathers, Irenaeus, others like Thomas Aquinas, Charles and John Wesley, even Billy Graham. But there's also many others we need to remember, names we don't know, names that have been lost through history, but they've instilled much in you and I. The mothers and the fathers that instilled integrity and honesty in our lives. The grandmothers, the grandfathers, the uncles, the aunts, the cousins, the sisters, the brothers, whatever they may have been, that taught us a good day's work for an honest pay. All the things they taught us. To do what's right even when everybody else is doing wrong. Those things they taught. We need to remember also those Sunday school teachers that faithfully taught and poured their energy into children. Children that wasn't theirs. Those preachers that worked long and hard for little or no pay. Those circuit riders that, did you know the average life of a circuit rider in the Methodist was 28 years old? Most of them wore their bodies out before they turned 30. And they was not paid. It was whatever they could collect, and most of the time what they collected went back to the church there. We owe much to those, to missionaries that have toiled long and hard in lands where they were subject to disease and they were inhospitable places and people wanted to stick a spear in them every time they turned around. We need to remember those that give sacrificially so the church could reach out to those in need. Those people that come behind and clean up messes that are made when we use our facilities. Those people that may set up a stage, or they prepare a bulletin, they run a sound system, they operate video equipment, they care for the nursery, they lead in song or worship or music, and especially those who pray at all times, such as our prayer teams. These are the people of the church that we need to celebrate this Memorial Day. Because we need to remember that as great as America is, it's only because of God that we are there. The author Hebrews reminds us of many of these people in his great chapter on faith, and I'd like to invite you to stand for the reading of God's word as we read verses 1 through 16 of chapter 11. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith our ancestors received approval. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen, what was made from things that are not visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain's. Through this, he received approval as righteous, God himself giving his approval to his gifts. He died, but through his faith, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken so he did not experience death, and he was not found because God had taken him. For it was attested before he was taken away that he had pleased God. And without faith it is impossible to please God, for whoever would approach him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith Noah, warned by God about the events as yet unseen, respected the warning and built an ark to save his household. By this he condemned the world, and he became a heir to the righteousness that is in accordance with faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called out to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. He set out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he stayed for a time in the land he had been promised, as in a foreign land, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, he received power of procreation even though he was too old and Sarah herself was barren, because he considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one person, and this one as good as dead, descendants were born, as many as the stars of heaven and as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. All these died in faith without having received the promise. But from a distance, they saw and greeted them. They confessed that they were strangers and foreigners on earth. For people who speak in this way make it clear they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land that they had left behind, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Indeed, he has prepared a city for them. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Did you notice some of the things I talked about where people served for an ideal? It says they saw from a distance. They didn't see it, but they saw it coming. It said they were seeking a homeland. It says they were looking for a desire for a better country, a heavenly one. Those who have come to faith before us in our Christianity, we honor them this day. They desired to make a better place for their prosperity and for all people. We owe something to all those who have come before us, whether it be our veterans for America or whether it be our church forefathers because of the faith that we have. We are not the smartest people in the world. Let me ask you a question. You with me, Tom? Tom, me and you, we live back in the ancient days. Oh, that's you, Tom, not me. We live in the ancient days. Think about this. What if we were alive at a time when fire had not been found? And we were out there in the wilderness. Would we be smart enough to know how to pick up a rock and get a spark and start a fire? Would we be smart enough to develop a match? Much less a big lighter or a flame thing? How much do we owe people who have come before us for the morals of our society, for the way we live, for our faith even? If we had never seen or experienced fire, could we make it? Or would we still be cold and eating meat raw in the dark? Some of you don't like sushi then, do you? Me neither. If others had not written about their faith journey, would we have the faith we have today? If our scripture, if our Bible had not been written down, would we know about the way God has helped people through the past? If others had not braved those treacherous seas to start a new life in a foreign place like the U.S. of A., would there even be a Lakeland today or United States? If the believers at College Heights United Methodist Church had not wanted to reach North Lakeland with the gospel and been willing to plant a Bible study in a trailer park, would Lake Gibson UMC even exist today? We stand on the shoulders of other people. If those people had not been willing to seek and to build a better place, would we be here today? All things aren't perfect, but we, like they, have a hope of a better tomorrow because of our efforts today. We need to remind ourselves of that on this Memorial Day and realize that, yes, we may not be able to do everything, but we can do something to make tomorrow better. We can do something to increase the faith of someone else. We can do something to build up the faith so that those coming after us will have a legacy. Let me show you what our faith should be able to offer the world. It's something that sort of kin to what we talk about the efforts of America and what we want in America, but people don't realize it. The Apostle Paul put it this way in Galatians 3. Faith has come. We are no longer subject to a disciplinarian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. Isn't that what we seek? For all humankind to be one in faith. As many of you as were baptized into Christ, you have clothed yourself with Christ. There is now no longer Jew nor Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male or female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus. Isn't that neat? Think about that. There's neither Jew nor Greek. Let's put it a different way. There's now no German, no English, no Japanese, no Australian, no Chinese or anything else, no Mexican or American. We're all one. There's no slave nor free. There's no indentured servant. There's no boss, no employee. We're all one. There's no male, there's no female. We don't have to have gender wars. We're all one. There's no difference because in Christ, through Christ Jesus Christ, we are all one. Do you hear any echoes from the Declaration of Independence in that comes out of the Scripture? Hear what some of our early church fathers said. Now remember, these are men that risked their lives, their fortunes, to establish this country, the United States. What were they thinking of when they took on this risk? What kind of land did they envision? What did they base their ideals on? Now, we have scholars tell us all kinds of things, but nothing's better than what they wrote down. That tells us what they thought. Listen to some of the things from some of our founding fathers and others. George Washington, not only was he the first president, he was the leader of the Continental Army, remember. He said, "It is impossible to rightly govern a nation without God and the Bible." And the Supreme Court tells me I can't have a Bible in the government? Somebody needs to go back and read history. Patrick Henry. Now remember, he's the guy that stood up and said, "Give me liberty or death." He also said it could not be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians, not on religions, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, these are the guys that risked their life and set this up and wrote the Declaration of the Constitution. And you're going to tell me now that you could tell me what they were thinking and they wrote this? Somebody's an idiot. And it ain't me. John Jay, the first justice of the Supreme Court, said, "It is the duty as well as the privilege and interest of our Christian nation to select and prefer Christians for their leaders." And you're going to tell me it doesn't matter what religion you serve when you run for my daggone government? I may be old. I may be ignorant. But I think I know what they're trying to say. Benjamin Franklin said this, "I think that the system of morals and Christ's religion as he left them to us are the best the world ever saw or is ever likely to see." You know what that means? This can't be beat. And you can stand on what it says, and you can base your life on it. But they're not the only ones. We have others throughout the ages, and I'm just going to quote you two. Abraham Lincoln. You know, that's the president that was here during the Civil War that had all that going on. He said this, "Intelligence, patriotism, and Christianity, and a firm reliance on him being God, who has never yet forsaken this favored land, are still competent to adjust in the best way for all of our present difficulty." He depended on a God in the midst of the Civil War. And then Ronald Reagan. Yeah, I know he was an actor. But he said this, "Without God, democracy cannot and will not long endure." Christianity is the basis for democracy. It seems that these people based their freedoms and their beliefs and their systems of morals on God and the Bible. And while I will agree with you that there should be no natural religion or national religion, they obviously relied on God and the Scriptures to keep them safe in their endeavors. Is that not also what real Christianity is about? Trusting God to help us when we journey on this earth. Trusting God to keep us from evil and to lead us into righteousness. Doesn't the gospel teach us that all people are made into the image of God? Aren't we all equal? Aren't we all one race? Don't we all have one Creator, the Lord God? Will we not all answer to Him in the end? Or, as Paul put it in Philippians 2, therefore God also highly exalted Him, Him being Jesus, gave Him the name that's above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. To God be the honor and the glory this day for the way He has worked in the Patriots' lives and given them the bravery they needed at their time, and for the way He will work in ours. To God be the glory for the way He sustained His church and promoted the gospel. May we all bow before Him and no other. Amen. Take your connection card. And because of what you've been reminded this day, what is your next step? Could it be to remember that others have paved the way for you and realize that everything we have, we owe to the people behind us, but at the same time, we have a responsibility to leave those coming after us a better place? Or maybe you can check the one that says, I will look expectantly to the future in faith. Or maybe we could check the one that says, I trust God to make a way where there is no way. Or the last one, I will hold to my faith in God no matter what, because we do not know what may come. I invite you to check those, and as the ushers come forward in just a moment, we'll drop those in our plate. Will you pray? Ushers, if you'll come forward.